This next reading comes from the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This is God's word.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name's Neil. I'm part of the Christchurch Mayfair family. It is good to see you. And in such fine voice, I have to say you're so much better than the lot we had in here on Sunday, but we can keep that between ourselves. And I now know what I want for Christmas. It's a set of those. Are those tubular bells? Is that what we got? Oh, come on. They're essential for every home, although I'm not sure what the neighbors would think. But how's your Christmas shopping going? You know, that buying presents, trying to find the right thing for your family. My mother, who's 84, bless her, she's already told me, "I don't need anything. Don't get me anything for Christmas." And I can only say, as each year goes by, it's harder to know what to get her. There were three brothers who were in a similar predicament. They had an elderly mother, and they really didn't know what to get her. But they were each very wealthy, and the first son said, "You know, I'm actually going to buy her a new house." The second son said, "Oh, well, in that case, I'll get her a new car." And then it was the third son who said to his brothers, "Look, you know Mum doesn't see very well these days, so I spent £20,000 on the most gifted parrot money can buy. And this parrot has been trained to recite all of her favorite poetry, and he's just amazing." Well, after Christmas, the old lady wrote to each of her children their thank you letters. To the first son, she wrote, "Thank you so much for the house. Sadly, it's just way too big for me now at my age. I just prefer my small apartment." To the second, she wrote, "Thank you so much for the car. Sadly, my failing eyesight means I don't think it's really safe for me to drive." But to the third son, she wrote as follows, "Dear Donald, thank you that at least you had the good sense to know exactly what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." And do feel free to use that one over the festive meal table. Well, Christmas, as we know, is that season for giving and receiving of gifts. And I, for one, love doing both, although I'm not sure I'm so hot on the shopping bit. It is estimated that by the end of Christmas Day, something like 360,000 unwanted Christmas presents will have already made their way onto eBay. Can you believe that? And of course, many people on Christmas Day will skip watching the TV to scroll through the pages of the internet and Amazon to look for all the things they really wanted for Christmas before the day is over, buying them hopefully at a knockdown price. But the reason that we give and receive gifts at Christmas time is because we remember that God has given us a gift. God has given a gift to the world. And I wonder what, if God could give us anything, what you might ask for yourself. Maybe you're a patriot and what you want more than anything else is an England win in the Ashes this year. Or maybe more personally, you'd like an X Factor voice. Or the football skills of Cole Palmer. Or just the confidence and pizzazz of Taylor Swift. Well, look, if God is there, it's a curious thought, isn't it, that God surely is able to give us anything. I mean, he literally could give us anything, couldn't he? If he made the whole universe, he made us and everything that's here. He could step in and transform our lives and our world in a moment. So what is it that God has given us? What do we celebrate at Christmas? Well, it's this, that God's gift to the world that first Christmas was the gift of himself. The angel said to Joseph, we read in Matthew's gospel, that the son who would be born to Mary would be called Emmanuel. We've heard that word, haven't we? We've sung it. We've seen it on that screen. And Emmanuel means God with us. Now, why would God, in all of his wisdom, give us himself at Christmas? What makes that the best gift that you and I could possibly receive? Well, just in the few minutes I have, just to help us think about that a little bit, I'm going to point out to one or two bits from the reading that we had just now, a moment or two ago, which is on this order of service, John's Gospel, and what's sometimes called the prologue, the opening chapter of John's Gospel. And we read in verse 9, "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world." So God describes Jesus as a light that gives light to us. God's one gift helps us navigate our way through the complexities and challenges, the darkness, in fact, of a broken world. Many people, when they wake up on Christmas Day morning, will have, in one sense, Steve Jobs to thank for their presence. Thanks to him, we have iPhones, we have iPads, everything else that goes with it. But Steve Jobs, in all of his brilliance, couldn't give the gift that he most wanted for himself. He died tragically young in his 50s, and he said, "No one wants to die. And yet death is the destination we all share. No one has ever escaped it." Oscar-winning director Federico Fellini remained frustrated by his lack of light to guide him through life when he said, "Like many people, I have no religion. I'm just sitting in a small boat, drifting with the tide. I just go on working, shooting, cutting, editing, looking at life and trying to make others see. Today we stand naked, defenseless, and more alone than at any time in history. We're waiting for something. Perhaps another miracle. Perhaps the Martians. Who knows?" Well, is there anyone who can give lives the meaning and purpose that no amount of socks or perfume or even chocolate can fill this year? Who can give light to our lives to guide us through this world? Well, God's gift to you this Christmas, if you will receive it, is the true light, verse 9, that gives light to every one of us. You see, verse 3, Jesus, who came into our world, verse 3, made all things. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So, of course, you'd expect Jesus, the author of life, to be the key to life. The light of the world brings light to our lives, because once we know that God is there and we know the future that he offers us, it gives direction and meaning and purpose to every part of life. Jesus really is the ultimate gift, because there is no one like him. We read in that final verse 18, "No one, you see, has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Now that we know Jesus, we find our place in the world and our purpose and our hope. That's the wonder of Christmas. See, Christmas tells me not just that there is a God who is there, but that he has you and I in his mind and on his heart. Can you believe that? That God is interested in you and me? The God who made us has made us for himself. Some of us ask, don't we, does God actually care about this world? Could God ever be interested in someone like me? Perhaps those questions sit at the back of your mind this evening. But when God came into our world, you see, he chose to live just like you and me. He didn't arrive on Air Force One with a cavalcade of stretch limos. No, God chose to be born, as we have read, in a stable, because no one offered him a bed for his first night here on earth. And he grew up in a small, obscure town. He did an ordinary blue-collar working-class job. And all to tell us what kind of God he is. Made like us in every way. And Jesus, when he grew up to be a man, made his mission clear. He actually said that he'd come into the world, God became one of us, to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came into the world looking for you, looking for me, to bring us back to God, the true light that gives light to every one of us, to show us the way back to God and to give you a life and a purpose that lasts actually for all eternity. That's what's on offer in the gift of Christmas. Well, if the wonder of Christmas is that God would do all of that for me, then the scandal of Christmas is that when he did come into our world, we didn't exactly make him welcome. Even at Christmas time, you know, not everyone is welcome, or at least they're not welcome for very long. One study tried to figure out what's going to be the most likely cause of arguments and disputes in the families around the UK this Christmas, and apparently 14% of arguments will be about who does the washing up. About a fifth of all of the rows will be who has control of the TV remotes. 11% will be about an old family issue, and 10% about what presents to open and when. Well, John tells us in verse 10 that when Jesus came into the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came looking for us, and yet his own did not receive him. And when we read through the life of Jesus in one of the Gospels, we see that when God came into our world, we didn't make him welcome. It wasn't just a few innkeepers who couldn't find room for Jesus. It seemed that the whole world couldn't find room for Jesus and were not ready to take him in to their celebrations. You see, the life that began in a manger ended on a cross. We're reminded in that it's a very, very easy thing to refuse and reject our Maker, to even seek to kill him. Many of us, I guess, just get comfortable living life without him. And just at Christmas time, every now and then, we're reminded that he's there. How many of us, even if we think that God might be just there, have no real plans to include him in our lives, let alone our Christmas time? God's gift came into our world, and yet many, well, just didn't want to know. But, verse 12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Jesus came not just to give us a light through which we might navigate life, but Jesus came to bring us back into relationship with God as our Father. The greatest gift of all is a relationship with God, a whole new status as children of the living God. Well, if you're looking for a last-minute present, there is a website. Websites are very handy, aren't they, when you've forgotten someone? This website is called highlandtitles.com. And it offers you for a small, don't look it up now, it offers you a small, for just a small sum, the chance to become a lord and lady of an area of 1 square foot of the Highlands in Scotland. And you get a certificate telling you the name that you can use when calling yourself a lord and lady. And someone I was talking to about this on Sunday said, do you know that's absolutely true? There's a guy in our bowls club, and he bought one of those, and he even got his driving license changed. He said it comes in very handy when you get stopped by the police. Well, I don't know really whether he can legitimately change his driving license, but it all seems a bit of nonsense to me. But for 50 quid, it might just save your Christmas. I don't know. But we do read that a relationship with God changes everything. You see, we read in that most famous verse of John's Gospel of all, John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The very thing Steve Jobs knew that money could not buy, the very thing that seemed to elude Francis Fellini, was an eternal life that actually was waiting for them all along as a gift at Christmas time. Jesus, through his death on the cross, would pay for our sin, would bring us back to God, and reconcile us to him. And that's for you and me, if we'll receive him this Christmas time. Kerry Packer was the richest man in all of Australia once upon a time. He died a few years ago now, but one newspaper obituary put this remarkable episode from his life into the obituary. They told the story about how one evening Packer was out with some friends and came to a pub looking for a meal. The landlord, though, turned him away, saying, "I'm sorry, we're not still serving food. We've finished for the evening." Undeterred, Packer walked across the town square to the other pub. But this time, the landlord was pleased to welcome him and provided a meal for him and for his party. And when they finished, this is a few years ago, remember, the bill arrived £140. Well, Packer got out his pen and wrote a check for £10,140. And explaining what he'd done, he said to the landlord, £140, that's for the bill. £10,000, that's your tip. The only condition is that before you cash the check, you show it to the landlord at the other pub across the square. You see, the mistake the first landlord had made was not simply turning someone away, but it was who he chose to turn away, the richest man in his country. Well, John urges us in these words we've read tonight and in the words of the carols that we've sung, not to make that same mistake this evening. This Christmas time, Jesus says to us, "Will you receive me?" If you will, I won't just give you a £10,000 tip, but the very right to become a child of the living God. Wouldn't it be just an even greater tragedy not to turn away the richest man in the land, but the God who offers us eternal life? Well, thank you very, very much for listening, and I wish you all a very merry and prosperous Christmas.